Blog Talk Radio.
This might hurt, it's not safe, but I know that I've gotta make a change. I don't care if I break, at least I'll be feeling something. Cause just okay is not enough. Help me fight through the nothingness of life. I don't wanna go through the motions. I don't wanna go one more day without your all consuming passion inside of me. No regrets, not this time. I'm gonna let my heart defeat my mind. Let your love make me whole. I think I'm finally feeling something. Cause just okay is not enough. Help me fight through the nothingness of this life.
Talking about proof of our Christianity. And remember, if you're listening for the first time, just press 1 to join in the conversation. And now, without further ado, here's Wild Bill.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining the show tonight, and thank you, Starla, for running the board. I hope everything's doing well in Spring Hill, Tennessee. I can tell you that it's a beautiful evening up here in Fargo, North Dakota. It just amazes me that the technology where I can be this far away and Starla's operating the board there and people calling from all over and emails we get and things from the military people that, you know, deployed. And it just it's just amazing. It's a good thing I don't have to know how it works. We'd all be in trouble. But the topic for our show tonight is just like a lot of our other shows. It has to do with things that I'm looking at in my life right now. And as if you've been listening to the show very long, you know that unlike most shows where the host is looking for something to kind of shove a viewpoint down someone's throat. In this case here, I usually, you know, put myself up on the altar and show for either my errors, mistakes, things I've learned, or, you know, just put it up there for public consumption, so to speak. But tonight, you know, I heard a preacher preach one time, and he said that if you were arrested for being a Christian, would they have enough evidence to convict you? And I was thinking that in judging our walk with God, you know, there it went. And I guess I made Satan mad with that one. But anyway, in looking at that, you know, there's all kinds of perceptions you get from looking at people and things. And, you know, you have people that you look up to in your life. And I know that, you know, I've had a lot of different emotions, you know, from different things with the reunion we just did. But the other day I was sitting there and praying and going over some things and looking in the Word. And the Lord just brought it to my attention and to visualize yourself. And if you can go someplace where you can look in a mirror with your telephone, then, or if you just can visualize that with me, but what God showed me is that, you know, just look in a mirror. And that man or woman that you see looking back at, that is the person that you can control. You can't control other people. You can't look to other people to try to make you feel good about yourself or to, you know, try to set your value or to try to set your worth. And the other part of that is that your feelings, you know, a lot of people try to say, well, I reacted to how I felt. You know, I was angry, so that's why I did what I did. Or, you know, I was sad, and that's what caused me to do this. But when you look at that person in the mirror, you are accountable for your actions no matter what you do. And those are things that we need to also realize. And that person that you're looking at in the mirror that's looking back at you, that's the person that's going to stand before the Almighty God and be accountable for every word and every deed that's your life. And that's a lot to think about, every word and every deed. And it's funny how with age you learn things that, you know, you have a hard time grasping as you go through life. And as I was telling some of the people at the reunion, you know, there's some people that ADD and some with ADHD, and I had a combination of STU and PID. And I just, I had a lot of knowledge of some things, and I was probably one of the most naive and most ignorant young people on real issues that you've ever seen in your life. As Brother George Hanna used to tell me, he says, boy, you're just ignorant, ignorant. That's all I can say. You're just ignorant. And I can really relate as to why he probably said some of those things to me. But, you know, I don't know about you, but I know in my past I've tried to get other people to make me feel better about who I am. And I know that, you know, I've been angry at them because they haven't done that. And there's been situations that I wanted changed. But what I found is that when I looked at that man in the mirror and I said, Lord, change me. Help me become a better man. Help me become a better husband. Help me become a better teacher, a better witness. When I started looking at changing things there instead of trying to change other people to make me happy, you know what happened? God works in things so that change happens for other people too. But it's so funny how we get the cart before the horse sometimes and want to do these things. And the other part that's real dangerous on some of these things, when you look at other people to establish your goals or establish your walk with God or to set your values to who you are, you're going to end up disappointed. I don't know how to say it any other way, but it's just you're going to be disappointed because that's not how it's designed for us to work. It's not practical, and it's not logical in any sense of the word. And a couple of things I wanted to cover from last week. I had two things that were brought to our attention. One person said something, or actually we had a couple of people that said that, you know, the show was pretty good last week, and but it seems like it's set up for everybody that's all in agreement to get on there and just kind of jump on the bandwagon and say the same things over and over. And that's really not what this show is to be. I feel like last week was that way because we had all went to the reunion And I can tell you from my viewpoint, I've never been so full of love and understanding and gratitude about things on a certain level than I've ever been in my life for what I saw there. And the other thing, we had someone that said, man, I called in one of your shows one time, all you guys do is talk and talk and talk and talk. And, you know, you don't give anybody else a chance to talk. So we want to explain once again how this works. When you call in to the radio show, your number shows up on the board there that Starla's working. And if you have a comment or a question you want to put into the show, you push 1 on your phone. That does not put you on the air. And then she will identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number when she turns on your mic. And, you know, we'll be sure and fit everybody in. So you don't have to wait till the very second you're like, I'm going to say something now. He's paused to take a breath. That's not how it works. Just any time if you got something to say, we will be sure to try to fit you in. So we want to make sure everybody understands that. And I can just see Joy Bells laughing right now as we went through that. But I also want to let people know that you can go to the chat room on Blog Talk Radio, and it's free to register, and you can post your comments there and not have your name, and Starla will read your comments on the air or your questions, you know, for everybody to listen to there. So there's several different ways that you can go about, you know, sharing whatever it is that you think or your questions or whatever it is. But going back to our topic here, I had a lot of different ways I was looking at this, and the one thing I wanted to do is that we're going to take judicial notice here, and what that means is we're going to make it clear that we're not asking you about your born-again experience, that first step that you made in your walk with God. We're taking judicial notice that that has happened, and where we're going from here is your walk after that. What are you doing now? Because what I've learned in my walk is that it's a progress. It's a process, and it is a progress. But it's like, you know, when you pray for patience, you know, you get trials and tribulations. God don't just flip a switch and boom, you got patience. He puts us through the process to really have patience, you know, in our life, to understand what it is, to get a grasp of what it means to be patient. And I think in our walk with God that it's like that. I mean, there's actually a scripture. I don't have it at hand, but it talks about running the race with patience. And it's not the race is to the swift, but it's to those that endure to the end. But I had some scriptures, and I was trying to figure out how to put those in, and I had quite a few of them. And I've asked Starla to look up some of those for me, and I'm sure she's already got that. And if you'd like, Starla, I'd like to start off with you reading some of those scriptures, and then we'll go from there.
Okay, I'll start at the top of the list. This is Romans 5, 20 and 21, and it'll go down into chapter 6 through 7, 1 through 7. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized in Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him in baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Do you want me to read more?
Yeah, go ahead and, if you would, read the one in Revelation.
Okay.
Or Revelation.
This is Revelation 2:2-5. Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw, Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood.
Okay. Thank you for that reading there. It's funny, I had enough scriptures probably could have filled up a two-hour radio show, and I was trying to figure, you know, which ones that, you know, really spoke to me that I wanted to put out there, and we had many more, and I'm sure some of you will have some scriptures also. But in looking at this show, and I was thinking about when we went to the reunion, and it is so unusual as you get older because you have more life experience, you can look back at things, and I know Blog Talk Mom can understand, and Joy can on this one instance here. We had a family that was very instrumental in being a support for us in our first start walking with God when we first, as a family, you know, started going to Sunday school and going to church and seeking God's word. And there was night after night after night of, you know, being the last people to leave the church, and we'd go to the local Dairy Queen, and they would stay there till the power was shut off and it was, you know, time to go home. And, you know, and then, you know, as kids, we all had, you know, to go to school the next day. And then there was times where we would run from one service to the next because of that first love that they had with their experience with God. And with time, it's funny how things happen, but that thing I was talking about where we sort of have this thing where we kind of lean on people, we become dependent on people, we look up to people, we edify, you know, some people in a way that sometimes is not pleasing to God. And there came a time between our two families where there was anger, there was harsh words, there was hurt feelings, and there was a loss of connection that was there. And, you know, at that time, we just all dealt with what we were feeling and what we were going through. But looking back, we can see how God was still doing a work because he loved both families, and he realized some of the dependency that was going on there of leaning on people and not, you know, standing up under a pastor and understanding that whole process of how you have to be a support to the ministry and you have to subject yourself to the ministry that you're under. And so looking back, I can see how those things, how they work. But I had some other issues in my life that, with all the love and joy that I felt from being there, that brought up a lot of questions. But it's kind of like some old wounds was opened up. And I'm going to be straight with everybody. Now, I'm not making any excuses about this. I'm not trying to hide this from anyone. But, and I mentioned it before for those that listened on the show, and a lot of the people know me personally, know that I have been married before. And to be total truthful, this is my third marriage. And so, you know, looking at that, I've had a lot of things in my life that have, I don't know what the right word is, because I do believe in accountability for actions. I'm not trying to say that that doesn't happen there, but it's caused a lot of, I'm not even sure how to word this, but through the process of living, there's two things that I've taken a lot of pride in that I've been able to apply and stick to my life, and one of those is I don't expect people to be anything other than who they are. You know, I'm not going to give money to a thief to go to the store to get me something to be surprised if he keeps the change. You know, I expect them to be who they are, and then I'm not surprised on anything else. And the other thing is I don't put myself in situations or circumstances that I can't handle. And I'm talking from anything from emotional, physical, spiritual, whatever. I just don't do those things. But on this, the issue of marriage and everything, there was, you know, times in my life where I'd leave church and I'd come back and I'd visit people and I'd come to a service and, you know, I may find myself under conviction and go to an altar. And I won't ever forget one time that I had did this, and I had some people that I really loved and respected, and they were sitting there smiling at me like, I don't know, like it was some big joke or something. I don't know if they were just nervous in what they were saying or what. And I'm not throwing any stones, and I'm not saying that they're wrong. So I want to make that real clear, too. But they were telling me that I couldn't be saved because I'd been married before. And I don't know. It just is one of those things, you know, different people have different buttons that hit them. I know my ex-pastor told about his father was told when he went off to war that, you know, his family all warned him, don't get foxhole religion. And so because of that, he stayed away from religion forever. It was just one of those things that he did. And sometimes I think we should be careful in what we say because, as one of my son's friends used to say, words hurt, Missy. And sometimes I don't think we realize what we're saying. Even if it's true, you know, that we got to be real careful with how we say things. But anyway, as time went on, I was in my second marriage, and God started stirring my wife. And she ended up going to an altar. She repented. She got baptized. She was filled with the Holy Ghost. And what did I do? I wanted to go back to the people that was my first real contact with the spiritual things of God. And so I went there. They had an awesome service and everything. And then this time we were both confronted with the thing about where, you know you can't be saved. You know, you got to divorce her. You can't stay with her. And something about that clicked inside of me at that point, and I'm not trying to justify anything, but I just told myself, if he's that kind of God, that he's going to draw me to an altar and put me under conviction, and he's going to stir this woman's life and get her started to live for him, and then all of a sudden I have to destroy the family unit that's trying to become a family in God. I just made up my mind I did not want any part of that. And so because of that and other things, she ended up backsliding, going away from God. And I continued to do the same things I did in my first marriage of trying to look for everybody else to fulfill me, trying to run from God. Well, I actually wasn't running from God. I just left him out of everything. I just did everything based on having a good time, going to work, just whatever the circumstance was. I left God out of it, and as you can guess, it caused things to fail. But in my situation right now, I'm awful with numbers, and Starla, you can correct me. How many years was it that you went to that church dinner and then started a relationship with God?
We had been married, I think, 3 years.
But how many years ago was that?
Oh, that was 15 years.
15 years 16. Ago. 16. And was it like a year and a half or 2 years before I finally came to church?
It was about a year, maybe nine months.
A year. But anyway, during that time, I watched this girl who had went and visited with some people, and she came home and she was telling me, I'm not doing that holiness stuff. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I watched her grow in consecration. I watched her grow in faith. I watched her grow spiritually, and I became the most miserable man on this planet. And so I still had this warfare of these words still turning over in the back of my mind. And I was so miserable. And so I finally broke down and went to church with her. And we went to a service. We went to a day service where she was going, and we went to a night service where Blog Talk Mom was going. And I was so bad under conviction. God was pulling my heartstrings with such force that I couldn't even wait till the altar service. I had to go down and repent of my nasty, ugly, dirty sins and lay it all out on the altar and, you know, and ask God to take me back. And I remember we had a brother in that church, Brother John Constantine, wrote a song, It's Come As You Are. And that was one of those things that I didn't have anything to offer. I have messed up people's lives besides my own. I'd hurt people, you know, and I was damaged good. But something different in that process happened for me there that for the first time ever, I realized that I had a personal one-on-one experience with God. It wasn't based on anybody. It wasn't based on anything that had to do with anybody. It was based on my relationship with God. And so I'm like all of you. Actually, sometimes I think I'm more like the children of Israel. I've been up and down so many times. I don't know how many times some tests I've had to take over and over and over. But I'm kind of dragging this out here. But when we went to the reunion, you know, I've been living for God now. How long, Starla?
When we went to the reunion?
Oh. How long have I been living for God?
Oh. Well, I guess about 15 years.
About 15 years. And I've been used as a deacon in the church. I've led church services. I've taught Sunday school classes. God has really blessed me to be used in, as witnesses and just in testimony services and things. I mean, it's just been awesome how God could take someone that was messed up like me and redeem me. And that goes back to that thought that, you know, Lord dealt with me on before the reunion. It amazes me how God can take imperfect people and do a perfect work. But when we went to the reunion, I was sitting there with all this love and seeing old friends and remembering things. And all of a sudden, it just popped into my mind was, you know, there was a man there that I respect, his spiritual walk and everything that, you know, that has to do with who he is in some ways more than anybody else on this planet. And I wanted to ask him what he thought about my walk with God, my salvation. And even more than that, Nona Freeman had the message on the blessing, and I asked a lot of people that I respect and have confidence in if they will bless me. And I had it on my agenda that I was going to ask this person to anoint me and bless me while I was there, because I believe that with all my heart that we have that power to do that as Christians. But all of a sudden, I had this fear come in, and I was afraid to even ask. And then you go thinking, you're saying, well, you know, what happened to your rule? Expect people for who they are. If this person was felt this way about you before, you know, what would make you change? You know, and you're thinking about putting yourself in circumstances that, you know, you can't handle. But there were some other things there that had changed. And so looking at that, I remembered when we first went to the Christian school and everything, my family was one of the few families that voted. You know, it sort of talked against, you know, taking part in the election process then. I remember I worked with a man in our church, and he was going to run for city council, and he owned a business there, and I worked for him. And, you know, he was sat down and explained about separation of church and state and why, you know, that the church couldn't be used as a political party or political agenda and these things. And so, you know, I saw all this happen. And now, wow, I mean, you know, everybody's really, you know, because of Christian school and things, they're aware of what's going on and laws are going to be changed. They're calling their congressmen, you know, they're telling people which way they need to vote in church, you know, to make sure that the right people are in there to push the agenda to be, you know, the most favorable for things to do with church and school. And so I thought, well, you know, hey, this has changed. And then there was the issue of, in this church, it was, you know, you didn't go to doctors. You trusted God, live, die, sink, or swim. And if you were someone that was part of the core group on the platform, you didn't go to the doctor. They did go to the dentist, but they didn't take a shot for pain when they were there. They trusted God for that part of it. And pretty much the dentist did the mechanical work, you know, of filling teeth and things like that. So, but during that time, you know, all that was going on. And as a kid, you know, you don't have a lot of say in things like that. You're just subjected to it. But now, you know, the people that used to say that and the people that are, you know, people on the platform and part of the core group and everything, they go to the doctor. So I thought, you know, looking back at this situation where we had all this hurt with this one family, and now looking back and seeing how God did a work there that needed to be done, I thought, you know, maybe with time, you know, things are different. Because like in my case, in law enforcement, you know, I know that I was a better policeman at the end of my career than I was at the beginning of my career. But that was my reasoning for wanting to ask the question in the first place. And then I got this bright idea, so I called Blog Talk Mom. I'm like, hey, won't you ask them what they think about this and everything? And she got really, she's got this certain tone of voice where she gets that, it's what I call protective mom. And she had that protective tone coming to her voice, and so I was real quick to just drop the whole thing, and she said no anyway. She wasn't going to do it, and I think it's because she knew from past practice how that pushed buttons and how I ended up, you know, just falling into a pit of despair, of hopelessness, and going away. But it's funny how God does things. When he makes you a new creature and he starts a work in you that he plans to finish, and when you take tests and you fail them, and then all of a sudden the test comes back around again, there's progress. And in this situation here, I did something that I had never done before, and that's that I went to my knees and went to the Word of God. And I'm not trying to justify it. I mean, adultery is sin. I'm not going to call it anything else. And no sin is going to enter into heaven. But from everything I'm reading of the Scriptures and everything that has to do with my walk with God, from the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit that's working in my life, God made me a new creature when I went down to that altar, when I finally had an understanding that I had never had before of what really was to happen, how it was a one-on-one experience. It wasn't based on anybody else, anything else. It wasn't just doing what I was told because I was told to do it out of respect. It was all of a sudden a relationship between me and my God. And so in that process, I'm looking at this, and I thought, wow, you know, this would be a good thing for me to open up here on this and to throw out there to let people see. I'm not trying to justify what's right and wrong, but I do want to hear your thoughts on this, because I know there's a letter of the law, and I know that no sin is going to enter in, and I know that we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And trust me, when I asked God to try me, it wasn't because that I wanted to go to hell in a string. I wanted to have the things in my life that could be shaken, to be shaken and blown away. I wanted those storms to be used to clarify things in my life. And when you get to looking at God's Word, there's so many scriptures that we recite, we repeat, we memorize over and over and over, but there's so much more of God's Word that we don't. You know, where it talks about, you know, the working with the poor, the things about love for each other, the things about love for your neighbor as yourself, those sort of things that's in your life. And I understand that those are a process, because I can tell you now, I do not love my neighbor as myself. If it was right now between them going hungry and me going hungry, and you saw what I look like in those pictures, you can tell I don't go hungry very often. You know, I would be going after something to eat for Bill. But in my heart and in my mind, I can tell you that I'm working towards that in my life, that for the first time ever that I'm reaching out to people that I before I saw as unreachable and a nuisance to be around in my life. And so with that, I'm wanting to hear what you think as far as how much we need to tighten up. Are there some things that have to do with salvation, and then some things have to do with blessings? You know, some of this I don't know. You know, I know there's a lot of different scriptures on a lot of different things that, you know, you can take any two or three scriptures and you can prove just about any point you wanted to prove. And we've made jokes about that before where, you know, God don't want us to fly because the Bible says, lo, he'll be with us always. You know, it's real easy to want to do that. And I don't want to justify anything in my life. But I would like for someone else to share what they're looking at as how they judge their life. Also, if they have any comments on what's going on in my life, the floor is just open. If you have some scripture that you'd like to share, I'd like for you to just open up and let everyone just share what they have.
Well, Bill, we have someone in the chat room that has a question for you, and I'm not sure if you've already answered it. I'm just going to read what they said, if I can find it. Well, I'm sorry, I lost my place.
I hate how that continues to scroll when you're trying to find something like that.
Okay. I don't know what happened to it. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, while you're looking for that, you can go ahead and see if we got anybody else that wants to share some scriptures or their thoughts on this as to how they feel.
Here's one. They're asking, who can figure out what is right and what is wrong? You're supposed to be taught, they mean in church. So if you can work out your own salvation, why do we need a church?
Well, I think it's one of those things where I was talking about where you can take any scripture to make it say what you want it to say. When it talks about working out our own salvation, there's other scripture that makes it clear that we are to be justified. When we stand before God, the books are going to be open, the Bible's going to be right there, and we're going to be held accountable for what's in that word. And the Bible also makes it very clear that we need the fellowship of being one together, to not stay away from church. We need to be there. And it talks about the fivefold ministry. You need that fivefold ministry. And I want to make it clear in talking about some of those things that was, you know, brought, you know, to me on the thing with the being married before. I'm not saying that they're wrong. I'm not trying to judge them and what they said, because they have the ministry has a responsibility and an accountability too for the people that's up under them. So, and there's probably some other people that could answer that even more, but especially in this day and time, if nothing else, God's math, where one person can rebuke demons and send 1,000 to flight, and two can send 10,000 to flight. You know, when you sit there and you think of the body of Christ being there together, worshiping Him, where God inhabits the praise of His people, and you got a worship service where everybody's worshiping Him, God is living in that service at that point. And so it's one of those things that I would tell anybody and everybody that church is very, very important. But more than that, it's very important that you find a right church, not one that's just going to make you feel good about yourself, but one that's going to go through the entire Bible and tie it all together so that it makes sense on what you need to do to be saved.
Well, Bill, we have a caller. Go ahead, okay. Mr. Kaiser.
You call
How
me?
Are you?
Yes. Oh, very well. Thanks. How are you guys?
I'm great.
Pretty good.
How are you?
Okay, I'm going to make a couple of comments, if you don't mind, Brother Wild Bill. You know, I've heard you say that more than once about your situation in marriage. I want to go on the record as saying this. I believe what the Bible says about marriage and divorce, and I understand that. I'm not backing down from anything I believe. Now, someone that is willing enough to say, Lord, I messed up. I made two mistakes. I did this out of ignorance. I did this out of sin. I did this whatever. But listen to this. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 19, the Lord said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. I do not agree with you know, the marriages. I'm just telling you straight up. But I had a couple come to me one time, and they were doubly married, and I didn't know them, had never met them. And a long story short is I told them, I said, if you're willing to come here to the church, know what I believe, I will never target you. I will never preach to you unnecessarily about this subject. But if and when I do say this word adultery, you can't say I'm picking on you. And they were fine people, and their destiny is in the hands of God. He said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I know that if people repent and confess, we can't change God's word. Let me share some more scriptures with you quickly. The promise of divine mercy is promise. And all these scriptures I could give you later, but the subtitles are this. Pardon is promise. Forgiveness is promise. When you have pardon and forgiveness, then there is restoration. And then examples of divine God's mercy, which includes forgiveness. And also, there is a penalty involved. It may be, however, a penalty delayed. But when you have pardon and promises and forgiveness and restoration, it goes on to say that sins are forgiven. And then we should live with supplication unto Him and crying out to God and seeking out God's strength. Am I making any sense to you?
Yes, it's amazing to me, and I appreciate those scriptures and everything, because I agree with you. Let's not call it anything less than what it is, adultery, sin. And no sin
sure.
is going to enter into heaven. But when
but
you look
if
at...
If a man or woman has made that sin, I don't think you should divorce her and try to make it right, because it can't be made the other way. She is your wife until death do you part from here on out. And so...
Right.
God takes a chance on a lot of us every day we do. And I know God will never take His word for granted, but all I can see is just if you're willing to live it, walk it, talk it, share it, say it, speak it, then the results, I'm willing to put the results in the hands of God, whatever the results may be. How's that sound?
Sounds good. I think I found a scripture the other day, and you probably can quote it, but it was talking about where people were trying to judge things, and God's like, who are you to judge? Were you there when I, you know, framed the world? Were you there when I died on the cross? You know. So I was like, wow. You know. He makes it clear he's the judge.
Well, it goes back to what Jesus said. Ye, with a woman caught in adultery, you know, all those big strong men drug her out. I mean, I wonder if they were spying on her, but anyway, they drug her out of a situation, took her to Jesus, and he just knelt down and wrote in the sand. But he said, ye who are without sin, go ahead and cast the first stone. And they all, with one consent, turned and walked away. And so that's where this situation leaves us, what we're talking about. Again, I want to go on record saying that I do not believe in adultery. But when people are to live for God, I'm not going to try to hinder them.
That's good. It's one of those things where it's funny. My dad used to joke, and he said, well, you know, you can't live with someone that's been married before, but you could kill them and repent for that and go to heaven. But there was real, I found a scripture that put actually murder and adultery in the same scripture. It made it clear that those are both sin. And that was one of those things that sort of made it a clearer picture for me, because when you murder someone, you're a murderer. And those people are not going to come back to life. There is no way you can, in yourself, redeem that situation. And that goes back to where Brother John had that song. I had to come as I was. I didn't have anything to offer. All I had was a broken vessel that realized that I had messed up big time with all the opportunities that had been offered me, with all the seed of God's word that was there, with all the blessings that where God made it to where that I was sensitive to flowings of his spirit and everything. And he had mercy on me. And that's all I can say is that his mercy and grace was sufficient enough to get me through. And I got to stand on that, because to stand on anything else, well, we all have to stand on that. We're either all a new creature in Christ, because we were all born in sin because of Adam. So, and because of Jesus, the man, and Jesus, God incarnate, that his action made it to where we have a way of escape that we couldn't do within ourselves. Could you answer something to this, the person that had the question on there about working out our own salvation? Why do we need church? Do you have an answer for that too?
Well, all I know that Jesus Christ is the prime example for humanity. Do read in more places than one in the New Testament where the Bible says that Jesus went in the synagogue as was his custom. You know, Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is the visible image of an invisible God. And that same God in the flesh, it was his custom, as long as he was alive, the Bible said it, as was his custom, to go into the sanctuary and worship God. So if Jesus felt it necessary, well, so do I. I know one thing, you can't get a lot from the news agency in the morning anymore than the radios. I don't do television. I don't do a lot of the other stuff. I don't watch the news on the internet. I just, you know, but what I'm saying is all these things people want to say, well, they have church in the house. Mm-hmm. They did it both ways. They had church in the house. But some people just want to go into the house and gossip and not do anything. I've had church in homes before. I've had some people that were terminally ill. They couldn't come to church. And once in a while, I take the whole church that could go, and we spent a Sunday night in their house, just have house church. I'm talking about shouting and dancing, praising God, and the power of God falling. So I know that I find my altar anywhere I chance to kneel, the writer, you know, the late writer wrote that song. So we have an altar in our heart, and we have a physical altar. But there is a time and place that God, the Bible says that he and his disciples met on the first day of the week. And they went to the synagogue, and they stood up, and they prayed, and they taught, and they preached. So I'm just going to follow the example, because he's the greatest example of the entire world of Jesus Christ. If he felt it necessary to go to the synagogue as was his custom, this old girl's going to do her best to follow him.
Yes. I hate to put you on the spot here, and I hope you don't mind, but
name's Spot.
we restarted the show with everybody looking in the mirror, and I don't know about you, but I know I haven't arrived yet. God's still doing a work in me. He's still perfecting things in my life. With yourself, how do you look at yourself in the mirror, and where do you see yourself as far as God can continuing a work in you, or do you feel like that you've already, you know, got everything you're supposed to get?
Why, absolutely not. It doesn't ever quit. It doesn't ever end. I mean, we should be aspiring more every day, closer to God every day. I mean, the Word, it just never ends. It's forever, and it's forever settled in heaven. It's forever settled in the Word of God, and there's just no end to it until the breath leaves our body.
Yeah, I don't think it's, yeah, like you say, it's not over till we're before Him. And I don't know, you know, a lot of people say that everything that's under the blood won't be there, but I think we're going to see every word and every deed. And when it comes up to where there was sin, that blood, the man Jesus, is going to say, I got that. I paid that one. You know, what's the wage for that? It's death. I paid that one. You're okay.
The thing about the blood
is, put it under the blood.
The Bible says the blood covers, look. You know, the blood covers when you sin or make a mistake. The blood covers, and that's not when it's when we preached sermons several years ago. We all used to preach a lot about trampling through the blood. When something, when you've made a mistake or sin or done anything, and you have it, you have fasted and prayed, and it's under the blood. You know, they say God has put your, He's buried your sins in the midst of the sea, and don't put up a no fishing sign. So don't go back there. When it's over, it's over. Let it just be over. But the Bible said the blood covers a multitude of sins. So the thing means the word covered. When it's covered, you know, we sing the song, I'm covered by the blood, by the blood that is shed at Calvary. So I'm glad that blood still, it flows all the way from Calvary to 2010 and flows all the way back to the days of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The blood covers it all.
Yes. Well, I appreciate you calling in and for the scriptures you had there. And you've always been a blessing to us, and you're basically like family. So I don't know if I ever tell you that, but that's how we look at you up in Spring Hill, Tennessee. So
we
really
appreciate
it. Well, Starla, did we have anybody else, or did you find, was there anything else in the chat room anybody had questions on?
That same person said, do you think you could return to the church where you started your walk with God and teach Sunday school and be a leader in the church? I don't know if they were talking directly to you or in general.
I think they were probably talking directly to me, and I would say in that church that I wouldn't be allowed to do anything. I don't know that for fact, but knowing the things from past, and there again, it's been a long time since I was there, but that's one of those things where I believe God puts you in a church, you know, and I'm in a situation now where I know where I'm going is where I'm supposed to be. I have an assurance in that. Has a pastor said something that's hurt my feelings? Yeah. Has he came down pretty hard on things that I was battling in my life before? Yeah. My feelings have been hurt. You know, I've been sort of felt like I was knocked around and everything. But, you know, per scripture, that's part of what it's for. You know, it's for reproof, you know, and rebuke and things like that from God's word. That's part of the ministry. It's needful to be there. And so to think that because of a situation that a person can go in to a church and ask them to reestablish their whole program based on you is really unreasonable. But there again, I do not know for sure. I know that I was there this last, you know, for the reunion. And, you know, everything that was done in the cafeteria, you know, I was, you know, asked to speak, and we did a presentation, and we went to church the next day. And since everything was based on the educational thing, I sort of thought that I would be asked to testify, and I wasn't. So I sort of take that as a sign that in that church I could worship, I could praise, I could, you know, be of service to the ministry. But as far as holding office or anything like that, I don't think that would be allowed. Do we have any other callers? I thought Blog Talk Mom said she has some scriptures and things she wanted to share. It's so funny, her going into protective mode for me, I could just picture her picking up that telephone pole, picking it up with something else. But when she threw it at the horse that kicked me, that was like, wow. You know, don't mess with mama's boy.
Blog Talk Mom, you want to say something?
Well, one thing for sure, no matter what we've done, no matter what we have done, when we come to God and we are born again You know, it's washed, it's cleansed. It's, the Bible says it's just as if we had not done it. Nothing can stop us from being a soul winner. In our service, this last service that we had at J&T, there was a couple, and not to embarrass them as they were to hear, but they've been married before, and they came in and brought her brother, and before the service was over, that brother was in the altar and was gloriously filled with the Holy Ghost. And, you know, neither one of them are teaching or, you know, they don't have any particular office in the church. But I think when we get our mind more on the calling of God rather than the position, churches can't. I love what you said, Richie, Wild Bill. They can't change their program every time somebody goes a different direction in their life. That would be mass confusion. And what the individual said about that, you know, could I go to church, you know, I think I understand that they could just go ahead and be at home since they couldn't really fit in anymore. But that is that's misconstrued completely, because the Bible is our, you know, if we're going to work out our soul salvation with fear and trembling, then we're going to do it by the pattern of the Word of God. And the Word of God plainly says to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. So if this couple had gotten down, you know, in an attitude, well, I'll just stay home, because he had been a minister and he's not allowed to preach anymore. And then that young man that prayed through the Holy Ghost might not have prayed through, not to limit God in any way. But God's mercy and his grace is so far, we really cannot comprehend it, or I can't, because each time we sing a song about amazing grace, it has the same power to seem to lift us up and to make us realize that God loves us, and he loves us so much he was willing to die so that we could be saved, so we could be. That's the good news. And there's a scripture in Lamentations, and the writer said, "This I recall to my mind. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." Hallelujah. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. We have a relationship and a connection with a God that created us and knew us from before we were ever born. And he's on our side. He's got our back. He sends, there, you know, naturally he puts in his word, if we walk in darkness, you know, he gives us paths to walk in. Romans explains it so plain. If we walk after our flesh, we're going to reap corruption. You know, once we're born again, we still have choices. We can still walk away from God. But as long as we're walking with our heart set on him, loving him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, he's on our side. I mean, if we could have made it without him, my, he wouldn't have gone to the cross. His visage would not have been marred more than anyone. And Wild Bill, he loved you so much, and Starla, me, all of us, that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. And oh, we've got so much to rejoice in, and to let the world know that it's not in us to go to a church and try to make, well, I love the way you said that a while ago. We don't try to make them change to fit our dilemma. You know, that's not reasonable. But we do go in humility, and like you and Sister Starla, I know y'all work in the church, you pay your tithes, you clean the church, you work in every opportunity, anything, any door that opens, you work in that way, and that's what it's really all about, don't you think?
Yeah, it is a walk, but the other part of that is that, you know, I'm trying to feel what the person is feeling, because I think that they probably have some of the same issues that I have and everything. And I go back to what I said at the beginning, look in that mirror. You cannot judge your life based on them, based on anybody else. You can't do it based on parents. You can't do it based on teachers, preachers. You can't. You've got to go and find your altar and get before God and with an open, contrite heart and say, God, I messed up.
Amen.
You know, and a part of that that's really unusual is God has to draw. I had long periods of my life where God wasn't drawing me. He let me go out there and mess up. You know, he let me wander around in the wilderness for a while and just see this, how Bill could do it on his own, and just to see, you know. And that's one of the things about the article in the paper, like, wow, you've been involved with a lot of different things. You know, you've actually, you know, did security for the President of the United States and worked at the Transition Center after he was elected. And, you know, you've had all these different business contacts and things that you've had. But there again, if I'd gained the whole world and lost my soul, wow. I mean, you know, God's merciful. And if, you know, God will use us if we want to be used. I've told my pastor many times that I don't have to hold an actual position in the church to be whatever's needed when I can be there.
Right.
And I have to be the first to admit with this job that I'm not there as much as I'd like to be or as I used to be. And one of the things a lot of people forget, that's where Satan got started. He was up there leading the worship service. And I, you know, when people got to going along, and all of a sudden he's like, hey, they kind of, if I sing it's just so-so, I get a certain beat up here and everything, I think I'm controlling this. I don't think this is, you know, heck, they can worship me. You know, I'm the morning star here and everything. You know, I got all these powers and everything. I'm part of the elect of God. And I see that with churches, when people come in, and if they can hold leadership, if they can hold, you know, be in charge of singing or have a singing group or something like that, or they can be in charge of how the services go and everything, then they think everything's okay. But then, and it's sort of like I heard that preacher say the other day, when their part's over, they just kind of sit down on the rest of the service. And that's not what it's all about. You know, it's about trying, when you go into a service, to create an atmosphere of worship where there's clapping your hands, stomping your feet, you know, patting your foot, jumping up and down, leaping for joy, running the aisles, whatever it is. It's all to be done to set up a spirit of worship there so that God can have his way in the service for people to have needs. And you can't do that one-on-one. I mean, you know, I have some great times in my prayer closet with God, but it's when I'm with God's people that there is, it's the same thing with family. A family that's in church together, Satan hates that because there's a special power that goes along with that. When you got a family that's in one mind and one accord, and for this person that sits there and said this, all I can tell you is seek God first. Don't worry about positions. Don't worry about anything else. And the hardest part of that whole thing is, if you feel like somebody's hurt you, forgive them. Just say, Lord, I can't do it myself. Help me to forgive them, because when you make changes within yourself, it makes changes with people around you. I can't explain how, I can't explain the why, but it does. If they're sincere and following after God, it's going to make changes. Maybe not the changes you want, but it's going to be a change. Did you have anything else there, Blog Talk Mom?
Well, Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And I'm so thankful that when we know that, and like you just said, do all that we can, worship him with all of our heart, and recognize that the accuser, the one that God labeled the accuser, is the devil, who came to steal, to kill, and destroy. But God came to give us victory and give us anything. We have absolute, we are overcomers in everything through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Good. I like that. That's one of the things that when you go to God's word, you can't argue with that. It is what it is. And so, but I would like to say for those that are out there hurting, for those that, you know, maybe have some of the same confusions in their life, everything, that God loves you. He knows where you are. You've not been forgotten. That if you'll turn from sin to him, I promise you that God will finish the work that he started. He won't just leave you hanging. But it takes you as an individual making up your mind that you're going to change and not look at trying to change everybody else. And some of the things that I mentioned, you know, talking about, you know, different, you know, how things change as far as looking at voting and the separation of church and state and things with, you know, churching, you know, the trust God and all that, you know, these people weren't just talking this stuff, they were walking it too. It wasn't something they taught and everybody else had to do. It was something that they did. And then as you get older, you look at things, you know, I don't know how to put it into words, and a lot of people say, well, if it was wrong then, it should be wrong now. But sometimes you gain wisdom as you get older. And there's scripture after scripture that talks about, you know, having respect for the elders, because they start to understand some things as time goes on. You know, you got the group dynamic of dealing with people and the whole process that goes along with that. And sometimes in that process, you have to be a little firmer. It's like having a horse that's not really broke to a bridle. You may have to jerk on the reins and jerk that bit around in his mouth just a little bit harder to get the change of direction that you need to have. And I think sometimes with the ministry, they have to do that for the circumstances of what they're in. But, you know, that's just where I'm coming from on this. And, you know, I mean, you may be looking at it totally different. Did we have anybody else, Carl? I know we're past the time here, but I don't want to miss anybody if they have anything to add to the show. Especially, I had one person said we just talk all the time. He couldn't get in, and so I want to make sure if he's got something to say, just push one. I'd like to hear it.
No, nobody has their hand up.
Okie doke. Well, next week we kind of took judicial notice this week on talking about what it takes to be saved as far as being born again. And next week, that's going to be our topic. We're going to look at that. What does it take to be born again? That initial start of you building a relationship with God. And I know there's a lot of different thoughts to this, a lot of different opinions and everything. I'm hoping that everyone realized today that what we were trying to say is that new birth experience is just your start. That's where you, that's your beginning, but it doesn't end there. It's a walk of faith. It's faith with works. You know, a lot of people try to say, well, you know, you can't, you know, works is not to be counted in this, but there's too many scriptures that talks about, you know, how faith without works is dead. How works try our faith, how works can actually build up our faith in things. And so it takes living a consecrated life for God. But one of the things that I really loved, and I was hoping you was going to talk about it, Starla, when she made up her mind to consecrate herself to God, she didn't do it to please anybody. When she quit cutting her hair, she didn't do that to please anybody, well, other than me. But she did that to please God. When people ask her why she don't cut her hair, she, you know, she'll tell people, that's my glory. I do that to please God. You know, the thing that was taken or that she took from her life, because you don't really lose anything, and that's a concept that we have a hard time with. When you're living in the lust of the flesh, you keep looking at all the things that you got to lose, and you don't realize that basically what you're doing is you're taking worthless rags and you're trading in for a garment that's beyond value, for eternal life and for eternal salvation, not something that's going to pass away. You know, we went to that reunion. I wanted to get up there and say, man, you guys all got old. But unfortunately, I had looked in the mirror before I got there today, and I'm like, I'm one of those folks that got old too. So, you know, things change. We change. Styles change. The only thing that does not change is God. And so that's what I hang on to. I do not hang on to a minister. I love the pastors that I've had and everything, and I respect them, but they can't get me saved. They can pray for me. They can teach me. They can lead me. They can guide me. But it's 100% my responsibility and my accountability, because no one's going to stand up behind me and be like, hey, I've asked for him. He's a good guy. It's not going to work that way. So I want to thank everybody again that called into the show. And for those of you who didn't say anything, you know, like those in the chat room, want to thank you. But want to encourage people to, you know, come on the show. No one's going to bite you. You're in the privacy of your own home. And just take a deep breath and just visualize that you're sitting at your kitchen table. Also want to remind everybody, we had, our pastor had went to Haiti. And those people there are requesting King James Version Bibles. And for those that would like to make a donation for that, they're only $7 a piece. That can be part of what you're doing to help outreach for people that are asking for those. And, Starla, can you give the address for that?
Yes, it's 1316 Huffines Ridge Drive, HUFFINES, Franklin, Tennessee, 37067.
Okay, and this life change ministry is tax deductible, so you're not just doing a good work to reach out to those that are in dire need after the calamities they had there, and it's still a serious situation now that the rains are coming in that area. And so this would be just, you know, something to give those people, you know, some help and support that they're asking for. I love each and every one of you guys. We'll see you next week. God bless.